The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Feels good to be back, you know, especially under different circumstances this time. So, big weight off my shoulders. One, two,
Episode 100 of the Schmo Zone podcast. I'm Dave Schmolten, a.k.a. The Schmo. My co-host is...
Helen E. with Helen E. Sports.
We have Rage and L. I. Aquinta and the champ, the funk master, Aljamain Sterling. I think we just start off right with the toast. Happy That's birthday,
yeah. Rage and L. Raging.
And congrats
Thank you.
To the
Thank
champ.
You. Smooth.
Yeah.
And the victory tour. Brings you to the Schmo Zone.
Yes, it does.
Welcome back, my man.
Thanks for having us. Obviously, things are a lot better under different circumstances this time around, so definitely a lot happier with the results of the last performance.
How's the reception now compared to when you had the belt the first time? You still getting the same hate?
I mean, no, but there's still some people in there that are still kind of just chirping. I'm like, you guys are grasping at straws at this point. Like, cry. Just cry for me. Give me your tears.
The fulfillment, though, it feels complete. Did you have an incomplete feeling before that's completely satisfied now?
Yes. And I'll just say yes. Short answer, yes.
There was a hesitation there. What's the hesitation?
I'm a very complex individual. So, like, I don't know. I think the best way to put it is, yes, for sure, I guess with Dana putting the belt on me the way that I wanted him to put the belt on me, that's, like, the main difference, because I truly did feel like I was the champ beating Corey Sandhagen way back then in 2020 of June. So yeah, this way it was, like, I guess formal. So getting it done this way, I guess with the actual belt on the line, I think it just makes this a little bit more prestigious. But I mean, I felt like I beat the best guy at the right time on the best win streak at the best time of the division, you know. So it is what it is. But yes and no.
But when you say complex, can you kind of elaborate on that?
How can we word Ow. This?
The guy freaking did it. You know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah. Complex. That's you got to be a complex person to get to the level that Aljo's at. You know. But yeah. So these a lot of people, I don't think, are still giving him the credit. You know what I mean? Even Dana going out and saying that whatever he said after the fight. It's like, dude, how could you score the fight differently for, you know what I mean? A lot of people said the first round, this or that. There's pictures of him in the second round. Mounted freaking body lock triangle.
With a dead smile. To right.
Yeah. And Fideon's like this. Like, there was no picture of Aljo ever like that in the whole fight. So, you know, 10, if you're going to give the first round 10-9, the second round's got to be 10-8, you know? And that 10-8 is, there's no way Peter Yan in the fourth round, it was just, people is, yeah, grasping at straws. They can't just admit that they were wrong the whole time, you know? Very few people, I think, believed in Aljo the way Aljo believed in him, the way, like, us at the gym saw and knew what he was capable of. So I think that it says it all right there.
But I give you so much respect, and I'm sure you inspire so many people, like what Al said, going into that rematch. I mean, it seemed like, at least, you know, on Twitter, I don't know how many, like, comments people usually read, but just having so many trolls, you know, constantly, yeah, like, out there. So I'm sure it got frustrating, but to be able to go in there and have the performance that you did and dominate the rounds that you did, I mean, it just shows, like, you know, the true underdog story and the true belief in yourself and your team and, you know, having a strong mind.
Yeah, I think a lot of people thought I was crazy. Crazy, delusional, acting. I think I was called everything under the sun, but I'm sitting here like, these are the thoughts I had to go to bed with that night, you know? And I would have to ask myself, like, are you actually serious about what you're saying, or are you being delusional and these people are actually right? And you have to kind of, it's you and your thoughts. You have to go back and check. And I, time and time again, I had to check myself and go, like, no, dude, you're not crazy. You know exactly what you're talking about. You know exactly what you're feeling. Don't let no one try to talk and say things to try to make you feel differently. You know how sometimes you weren't there at an event and somebody said, you remember you, we were doing this, and they could kind of like make you trick your own mind to think that you were there when you probably were never even anywhere around just because of how long ago it was. And that's kind of how this was, obviously, with the fight, taking shots to the head. Like, not everything's going to be the most clear. So you have to recap based on what you can remember. And what I could recall on was the emotions, the feelings that I was having throughout the day till the fight, after the fight, and that was it. And I had to use that data and go back home and go, okay, what do we need to do? What do we think went wrong? And just try to fix it that way. I mean, 13 months is a long time to have people talking shit to you. So I think most people would have probably cracked under that type of pressure. They're like, stay off of social media. They probably would have deactivated. I'm like, dude, I don't give a shit. I think that's one thing about me. I just really don't care what people say. It's like, as long as I think what I think and feel the way I feel and I'm being honest about it, I can sleep at night and just go about my day.
But you're also the rare breed that takes the time to respond to it, because you do read a lot of it, you respond to it, you compartmentalize it, and you still tune it out and you still make your own path. Like, where do you find the balance, and why do you find the need to respond to all the hate when you know it's just bullshit to begin with?
Well, we were just talking about this. I was like, I told the guys, like, no one's going to bully me off of my phone. Like, this is for my personal enjoyment as much as it is for them to troll and have fun. Like, I want to have fun with my account too. And I think the fans, most of them appreciate that I even interact at all, because most fighters and most athletes, they don't, you know? So I'm just like, I look at myself every day when I wake up, a regular person, just interacting, having a good time, and that's really it. So I, you're going to have some days where you wake up, you're just going to be like, shit, man, I'm not in the mood for this right now. You just get off. But the other days, I'm like, well, say whatever you want. This one way, we're going to figure this out, and it's when we get back in that cage with each other. And then it's either I'm going to be right or you guys are going to be miserably wrong. And again, here we are with them trying to find. They went from Jan by anything to now he won by walking forward and throwing less strikes. Like, that's the argument now. I'm like, dude, you guys sound absolutely crazy. But yeah, tuning it out and being able to stay dialed in is not easy, and I think it comes with practice. And we have tough days in the gym.
His superpower is not like letting anything. I was looking at the things people tweet to, and I'm freaking losing. I'm like, Aljo, do it, this guy, you know. And he's just laughing. He's like, you know, just
thick skin.
I think, yeah, for 13 months, that's you know. I think anybody else, that's taking a real big toll on you. But for Aljo, he's just, you know.
And they showed that they were showing, like, in the back room, they were showing the knee and everything all over. I'm like, these guys are trying to get me, like, rattled. But I'm just like, hey, man, that's in the past. Today's a new day, and I can control what happens with my future based on what I do out there right now. And I even told the guys, I told Ray, I said, listen, I don't care about winning and losing. I just care about having a good performance. And if I have a good performance, win or lose, the people are going to shut up. And that's all that matters. Like, life goes on.
But what gave you the most confidence from that first fight to have that performance you did in the rematch?
I think the first fight, I'm like, if I'm this compromised coming into the fight and I could do that well, I mean, it looked aesthetically ugly. Like, I will say that. I've said that multiple times. But based on the strike count, the takedown attempts, pushing him against the cage, kind of stifling his movements, I'm like, dude, I'm like really compromised, and if I could do this and stay in the fight with you, and you're supposed to be the boogeyman of this division, I like my chances going into the rematch. That's, I was like, it's either he's going to get significantly better, which he did. I felt like this time he was more prepared from a technical standpoint than he was in the first fight. I don't know if it's because his approach was different. There's so many different variables, but I felt like this one he was way more prepared, and had I showed up the way I should have, I think I would have finished him that first fight. But just the information I got from that, I go, if this guy doesn't grow and change, then I still think I do pretty damn well with him.
And you have your other residency here in Las Vegas, and I know for the first fight, you were spending most of that fight preparation here in Las Vegas, but for that rematch, for this past fight, you spent the camp back home in New York. What was the difference being in New York versus being in Vegas, and do you think that played a significant role in this fight?
So for the first one, we spent like, I jump-started my camp out in New York, and then I kind of finished in Vegas. I think that was like the last 3 weeks or something like that. And then I did the same thing with this, but I jump-started it in Vegas. And since it was going to be in Florida, it just made sense to finish at home instead of trying to go back and forth, which would have been kind of crazy. For me, I think the most important part for me is just having my actual guys that I work with, you know? So having the guys that I'm in there actually training with, sweating with, bleeding with, like, that's very, very important to me in terms of game plan, making sure they're giving you the right looks. Because when you go to other gyms, sometimes it's not about helping you. It's about how can they – I'm not saying this about the gyms. I'm just saying when you go to other places, sometimes the training partners could be like that because it's not as much control over the training camp like we have back in New York. So I find it a lot better to have that. Like when we came to Vegas, I had to bring out about 4 people. Which is good, though. You know, so as long as I have my team, I feel comfortable, and I think that's the most important part. Like, I could be training in Al's garage, getting ready for Corey Sandhagen, training in the PI, training in Extreme, training in Long Island. As long as I have my core group of guys that, you know, I trust and we have a good, like, a great relationship with, I think my mind is strong enough to do well no matter where we're training at.
Speaking of Twitter, what we were talking about earlier, now it looks like literally everybody's calling you out. From obviously TJ Dillashaw, Jose Aldo, I saw him tweet. Even what Henry Cejudo,
Dominic Cruz,
yeah,
everybody's gunning for you.
Wait, Cruz called me out.
Cruz, he didn't necessarily call you out, but we actually paid a visit to him last week in San Diego. He's too nice to call anyone out, but he believes he's worthy of a top 5 opponent. You certainly fit that mold. And are you someone who considers him the greatest bantamweight of all time to date?
I would say so. I mean, they counted Strikeforce wins, right, for the UFC. I don't see how you can't count the WEC wins when he's pretty much fighting those same guys when he came over. You know, so I would say so. I mean, the guys did so much for the sport in terms of building it in the beginning stages, the Little Men in Blue. That's that would be a fight I would love to have at some point. You know, I've called him out multiple times. He's ignored me. And the same thing, I know Cheeto called him out a bunch too. He was like, you know, I'm looking to only fight up. And now Cheeto's ranked above him, called him out again and said, hey, if you want it this time, come get it. So I understand Don's position. He's the grandfather of the division, and he only wants the big fights right now at this point, which makes sense. He's earned that right. But eventually you got to fight, you know. So I don't know if it's going to be me. I think he's got to fight one more. Maybe I think Merab would be a good one.
Merab or even Aldo.
They said that Merab was – they were trying to make that fight, you know, Merab and Cruz.
I'd love that fight.
That'd be a fun fight.
Yeah.
I would love that fight.
No one really wants to fight Merab. You haven't heard anybody.
Yeah, how is Merab?
That is the weird thing to me, too. No one brings up his name.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They should.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have
a very dangerous fight for anybody.
Yeah, very underrated.
I mean, I don't know who else Cruz is going to fight. Song Yadong? I know he ain't trying to go back that far. So, I mean, he's got Vera, he's got Merab, or Jose Aldo. So, I mean, this division right now is insane. Like, I look back at it, like, step back, and I just go, this is crazy to even, like, wrap my head around that I'm sitting at the top, which is, like, something I never – I mean, you thought it could happen, but it's such a hard thing to accomplish, I feel like, because every time I got close to winning something like wrestling in the counties or trying to get to the state tournament or trying to win the NCAAs, you know, always coming up short. So this was, like, attainable, but not really. But now that it's actually happened, it's kind of like, yo, this kind of surreal. It's kind of wild.
Is it how you envisioned it to be like?
I don't know. I, you know, my mind and perspective has changed so much since when I first got in. As a young kid, you know, I thought about the partying, making, you know, meeting all these girls and doing all these crazy things. Like, that's what I thought it was going to be. I'm 32 years old now. I'm just like, I just want to hang out with good people and my people, and that's really it.
But out of everybody that has been calling you out, who intrigues you the most?
I don't know. I guess the biggest one that everyone seems to be talking about is TJ. I think that's the biggest seller right now. I mean, Cejudo's, he's done great things, but at the same time, he's been gone for 2 years. He fought Cruz on his way out. I'm like, dude, and you fought Marlon. I'm like, yeah, you were the first one to beat Marlon. I would have loved to have had that rematch back then, but it is what it is. He beat a killer, and then he beat Cruz and retired. So I'm like, yeah, you did good, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't know. I feel like there was more for him to do before just vacating the belt like that.
What's been the best part about retirement, if that even exists for you? Because if you just brought up Cejudo, he's retired. He had the itch to come back. You completely done, huh? Or no?
I don't know. You can't like say I'm definitely, you know, done. But, yeah, I'm just having fun doing what I'm doing. Being a part of this camp was just awesome. You know what I mean? Good to be in the gym, training, everything. Not getting too crazy. I don't want to get hit. You know what I mean? I don't want to get hit anymore. Done with that. But, yeah.
Busy selling houses and properties, I've seen. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been busy. Very busy doing that. So it keeps me busy. That's good.
What do you think of this market? Have you watched how these interest rates continue to explode?
Insane.
It's absolutely insane.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Right now, the market, it's still strong. You know, I feel like people are trying to get in now because the rates they're anticipating going up a couple more times, you know. So who knows how high these rates are going to go. So everybody's trying to get in now or forever hold your peace kind of thing, you know.
They're getting close to 6% interest rate here in Vegas right now for houses.
Oof. Yeah.
I got a 2.75.
Damn, you're lucky.
Yeah, I think I got like the same on one of my houses too.
Keep that.
Wow. Just got to wait for the election for things to come down unless something catastrophic happens before then, right?
Well, I don't think you're not touching 2.75, 2.5. It's, you know, you're not refinancing anything. You're just letting that ride. It's like free money.
Yeah.
Historically, though, you know, even like 6% is not that crazy. I've been hearing stories about, you know, in the 80s, 14%, stuff 14. Like that, you know, yeah, and that's like just the way then, it was. Yeah. That was what it was. You know, I know people that bought houses at that time. It was the interest rates were that high. So in the grand scheme of history, 6% is not that crazy. It's higher than 2%. I mean, we were spoiled for so long, you know, but I think it's going to be an interesting fall, winter to see once these rates go up, how the market shifts and goes from being such a seller's market to whatever it will be, you know. And then inflation, you add inflation into that whole mix, the prices are still going up. You could, you know, it's like supply and demand is more, less supply, the price goes up. But with inflation, the prices might still go up even if there's, you know, more inventory. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I wanted to buy another house, but I'm not paying what they're having out right now. So I'm
buying just it wait. Here?
I don't know yet. I kind of want to have like a beachfront property where I can kind of vacation out to, still rent, make money. But at the same time, something that we could go to enjoy.
Let's open these up, right? So you guys
are staring at me.
Just celebrated your birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
This is still the victory lap for you. This is what? Are we 2 weeks now or 3 weeks out from the victory?
I think three.
Three, yeah.
And you're still going strong. When do you cut this off? Because we're still – is this the back end of the victory parade?
Listen, 13 months is a long time, and I think – I don't know. I want to enjoy my time a little bit longer. Probably June.
We'll share that.
Okay.
I did work out Saturday because this Japanese fighter, Kai Asakura, mm-hmm. Ryzen, I think he was the Ryzen champion at a point, very tough Japanese fighter, very popular. He's leaving May 12th, so I told him, I was like, yeah, I'm not training right now. But then I was like, okay, maybe this Saturday I can wake up and come do something. This was after Hakkasan, waking up hungover. And I'm just like, oh, my God.
The guy was at Hakkasan until 5 a.m., and then the next day he's gets in there sparring.
Sparring.
I was like, Aljo, you made it to the gym this morning?
That's dedication.
I slept all day. Aljo goes, yeah, you know, I went, and they got me doing a round, so then I did a half a round of wrestling, then we drilled a little bit, and then I sparred. I go, you sparred?
Yeah.
What the heck?
Wait, what time does Hakkasan close?
Usually like 4-ish.
They left it open for you.
We were there. Well, they were still playing music after Tiger left, so we were still hanging out, just having a good time. But yeah, maybe June, like I'll actually start like really training. I want to just give my body a break, man. All the rehab, PT stuff, and the 2-3 training camps, start, stop. It takes a toll on you, man. I feel like I was training with no like end goal in sight. Like there was no light at the end of the tunnel for me. That's what it started to feel like. And then I honestly started to think I might end up retiring. But I'm glad I was able to make the walk again. And that's why I was pretty emotional, like get on the scale. Cause I'm like, dude, I thought this would never happen again. And I thought that was it. And yeah, I'm just glad I was able to make that walk. And I give training a little bit of a break for now.
That word, the R word, retirement, like when did you overcome that feeling? So you had that feeling of retirement. When did that go away?
Like I said about my mind, sometimes I think like everybody though, we all have like these moments of doubt kind of thing, like second guessing ourselves. And I've had it a couple of times, but then after I kind of like just get away from everything a little bit, just give my mind a little bit of a time to kind of just reset and then kind of just regroup and think about the goals again, like what are we trying to accomplish here, and then seeing if we're actually like getting any type of traction. And I was like, all right, just give it another week, let's see what happens. We're getting a little bit better, we're getting a little bit stronger, and see if this comeback is actually going to be a real thing, or is we're just wasting time here.
But to clarify, like now retirement isn't even on your radar, right?
Oh, no, okay. No. It was crazy. I did want to retire at 32. When I first got in, I wrote my goals out. I was like 32. I was like, I thought I was going to win the belt by like 24. Got into the UFC at 24. And I thought by 32, I would have defended it like 10 times and retired. But that didn't happen. So, you know, now it's just kind of reassess. And I don't know. I think I got a couple more good fights in me. I want to try to hit that 20 win club. If I could do that, I feel like that would be a huge feat, because not many people are able to do that. It's a hard thing to do. There's very few people who have 20 wins in the UFC. I'm just trying to submit my name in wins in total. I think 13. It should be 13.
Getting up there.
Yeah, and then we'll see. We'll see if the desire is still there. Cutting down to 135 is not fun. So we'll see. At some point, maybe I have to go up, and then we'll see the next few fights how everything shakes out, and maybe Rob's the number one contender and he fights for the belt and I'm going up to 45. We'll see.
This past weekend, Rob Font, Chito Vera. Did that fight go the way you expected it to go?
I didn't know which way it was going to go, because I know Font missed weight. And usually with the percentages, the guys that miss weight normally win.
Yes.
So when he came out like that on fire in round one, I was like,
he looked good in that first round.
Yeah.
Was it only 20% of his purse that he had to give over to Cheeto's team?
I think so. They might have negotiated for more, but 20% at that level where the stakes are so high, like, nah, man, you gotta cough up a lot more than that.
Main event, too.
Yeah, if you miss weight, I think that it's got to be a harsher. You should almost be, like, losing going into the fight, and then you have to win just to get your show money or something like that. You know what I mean?
Especially at the level of, like, two top seven guys?
Zero. You should get zero. Until if you win, then you get maybe your show money, and your opponent should get everything. Like it really should be a loss. Like if you miss weight, you should lose the fight, because that's you agreed to make weight. You miss weight, it's like the fight shouldn't even happen in wrestling. You miss weight, you're the number one seed going into the NCAA wrestling tournament. You miss weight, that's it. Olympics, you miss weight, that's it. You're done. This is, you know, it's a entertainment sport, so they got to put on the show. The show must go on. So that there has to be, it's got to be, something's got to do for this missing weight. It's at this level is unacceptable. But he looked good in that first round.
He did.
Yeah.
But I just think Cheeto's versatility in striking, that's what showed over the course of five rounds.
Yeah, and that's what I said the difference would be, because Font primarily just boxes, and you got Cheeto who's long also and can kick.
Stay staring at me. Let's do it.
He does a good job.
Cheers.
With that.
Yeah.
Salud.
Long live the champ, you know?
Kicks and knees, man. I always say guys that can kick, they're like special, because it's just, you're not used to seeing kicks coming at you the way you are with punches. So to train for that, to find someone who can kick as well as your opponent, might be able to kick question mark kicks, front kicks up the middle. Like, no one likes being kicked. When you see people get kicked in training, you see them, like, close their eyes, try to get out of the way, or they'll just eat it, and they're very uncomfortable. Like, kicking is a very, like, when I have to fight someone who kicks heavy, I'm just like, oh, bro, I really don't want to deal with this. And I can only imagine, because I kick a lot, so I know it's probably, like, the most annoying thing, that someone's going to spam kicks, like, front kicks like a jab, and it's just crushing your forearms, crushing your it's not a... Yeah, versatility for Cheeto won him that fight. And that shell defense was actually pretty good. I feel like that was the best he's used it. And I thought he did a pretty damn good job.
Hey, remember when TJ Dillashaw kicked you really hard?
Yeah. Yeah, I took a leg kick from TJ Dillashaw. Yeah.
How was
years
that?
Ago.
Yeah, it tore my meniscus. Just because of the height difference a little bit. But that was actually the first, he was the first MMA fighter I ever interviewed. It's so funny how everything comes full circle.
Oh, wow.
He ended up fighting Cody Garbrandt that second fight. That was the first time I covered a UFC event. I was always a fan. He won that fight. Henry beat Demetrius Johnson that fight. Then they ended up fighting at flyweight. And it's funny how everything goes full circle. And now here he is. He's probably your next opponent, or Henry's probably your next opponent. One of those two guys is likely your next opponent, if I had a guess.
Yeah, I would agree. I think Shelby was actually just asking, when do I want to get back? But I don't know. I'm not really thinking about that. I just told my manager, just tell him, like, when's the next big card? Because we could sit and talk about it. And the next big card, then we could see which one I could get on, because I'm not looking to just get back because you need a filler fight like you did with me in October. That was not cool, because now you threw me under the bus and made me look like an asshole when I wasn't even clear to fight. You know, so, and the fans read the headlines, and then I'm automatically the bad guy. So, I don't know. This
freaking guy, nothing, just choom, you know, goes right past them.
And I'm just like, these people are crazy.
I just can't believe you take the time to respond to everybody on Twitter. Like, you take the time out of your day to respond to people.
I'm impressed.
Anyone talking
by his
crap.
Thick skin. Like, you don't let it get to you.
Nah, it's
crazy. That's crazy.
You can't let people control your happiness that you've never met. You know what I mean? It's just like, if Al says something to me, that's a little bit more personable. Like, that's different, you know? If you said something, I'll take that a lot more offensively. Like, even when I'm talking shit to Ariel, when I'm calling him out. Like, dude, I actually have, like, interactions with you off of air. Like,
right.
You know, so when you say certain things, it kind of rubs me the wrong way. Like,
right.
That's more personable to me than, and like, a McCarthy. Versus some Joe Schmo I don't like.
I like the reference.
So yeah, some random that I don't know from a keyboard from God knows where doing what. Probably circle jerking himself right now.
100%. But I don't even think it's worth taking the time to even respond to those people that you don't know. I understand the John McCarthys. I understand the Ariels or myself. Yeah. Anyone that you know, like you just said. But for that random Joe Schmo out in Des Moines, Iowa, that just absolutely hates you because they're a big Pewter Yan fan and thought he beat you. Like, why even waste the time?
Well, I feel like they don't think that we're real people sometimes.
Yeah.
I think that they see us, but they don't really think that, like, and then the worst part is when they go rent-free. I'm like, no, dude, check my timeline. I I comment to just about everybody. Yeah. If I have the time, I engage. You know, if I don't, like, that's part of the job also, I guess. So for me, I've always been like that since the regional circuit as an amateur.
Mm-hmm.
You know, posting pictures, doing my own self-vlogging as an amateur coming up the ranks and sharing content, interacting with people from my colleges and stuff, like friends, trying to get them to, like, come out. You know, so I've always been, like, engaging with people on social media from even way back then on MySpace. And
MySpace. Tom.
Where is that guy? Where is Tom right now?
Tom's doing.
And Elon Musk just bought Twitter.
Oh, is that official?
I think it is.
I believe it is.
Oh, great. Now free speech. Make free speech great again.
What a life. What a crazy world we live in.
What a world, right?
What a world.
Twitter's like the most valuable thing in the world right now.
Just social media in general, man.
Yeah.
Just the way this thing's headed. Like, you came in here, you're going to be putting some behind-the-scenes stuff. You got your YouTube channel.
YouTube.
You create content as well. I mean,
I could do a little better job with that, but
we can all do a little bit better job.
Yeah, it's
with
true.
That.
It's true.
I tell that to Helen all the time. We could always be better.
But then at the same time, I'm like, a lot of people, they so much with the content. I know so many people that are super happy and successful, and they just don't even have social media. So it's like, what, you know, it's like
balance,
anything else. It's a balance, and if you want to get it, if it's your thing, it's your thing. If it's not, you know, I don't think a lot of people are very focused on the social media and
I hate social media. I'm only on it as the schmo. I don't have it for myself. If I wasn't the schmo, I would never have social media.
That's actually genius. So you don't really have social media.
Not for myself. Yeah. It's only for the character. It's only for a business to make money.
Yeah.
And I know you guys are business guys, so you completely understand that.
Yeah.
And that's what you got to do sometimes.
But that's like everybody. I think most people are like that. They have like their, even if it's your real name, like that's your social media. Like it's, that's their schmo. You know what I mean? It's like that's not really who they are. A lot of people, you know what I mean? Like a lot of people, they have like a different social media persona.
Yeah. Right. And I feel like
they're good at social media.
And I feel like there's a lot of people that feel pressure that they have to post all the time or maintain a certain image online. And if they don't feel that way, they just get all these negative feelings and their life turns completely upside down.
Oh, for sure. I feel it sometimes. I'm like, just, you know what I mean? I don't know. I just want to like escape social media, you know, just have a good time.
But don't you feel like it's easier now that you're not like in the fighting pool as versus to being out of the fighting pool as a UFC fighter? Do you think it's harder or worse for you right now? Or easier or harder for you right now?
Well, you hear so many people now that I'm in the real estate pretty much full time, got that going on. You need to be on social media. You got to do this for business. It's like, you know, it's a lot of pressure. Some people, you know, it's like some people think you see the people that are, you know, always on social media, you think they're doing so good. It's like, are they really? You don't really know. You know?
That's true. Or it's like you don't know how they're really feeling inside. Like they can make a post that they're so happy, but they're miserable.
I see some people and I'm like, this guy's got it all figured out.
Yeah.
Like, how do you get to that level where you just have it all figured out always and you're just like spewing out, making advice to everybody all the time? And it's like, show me the little negativity in your life. Like, show me like a battle that you're going within yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's not always uphill. Like, you definitely get knocked down a couple times and then you work your way back up. And I think that's why people relate to us, because like, just even talking about like self-personal things that we had to deal with and like adversity, like, you know how they do like the thrill and the agony?
Yeah.
Like, I actually really enjoy that because you get to see the other side of the coin, because sometimes you only see the glamorous stuff, and it's nice to see fighters that are willing to like accept that they lost and kind of show that side of them a little bit. Because most of the time, like you guys said, like, not everyone's like willing to get on social media and really put things out there. So when you get to see like the behind the scenes, like kind of like just peeling the layers back on the onion, you know, so you get to really see that person for who they are, and it's more relatable than the person who's always positive. I'm like, dude, has it never rained in your city? Like,
Shut up, like, dude.
That shit's crazy.
You know? Tell him out.
Like, yeah.
Dude, shut up.
It's
so great, right? Come on.
Right.
Give these guys a little, give everybody on your following a little, I'm having a tough day today. We got to freaking wake up and get this done when I don't want to do it, when I'm freaking, you know, my neck, whatever. You have an injury, you have whatever, you know? Like, Aljo's, he doesn't care. He's out there. So many fighters, like, they don't even, they won't even mention the negative stuff. They'll just, you know, put on this front, you know, that everything's great and whatever. And Aljo tells it how it is. So it's, yeah, I think that's, it's important for the world.
It's huge.
Authenticity.
When was the last time you ever saw a negative comment or post from The Rock? Everything he just posts is just positivity and you know, like, his world is sunshine and rainbows. Has anyone ever seen the negative side of The Rock?
That's actually a very valid
point. Do you think
that
The Rock, what do you think, like, the craziest thing he's got to freak out about something? You know what I mean?
I just find his situation very, very unique. He's like business partners with his ex-wife, right? Is that a real thing?
So, yeah. It's
like, I don't know how you balance that.
It's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, it's hard enough for me to balance business with my
and everything's good. Best side.
Everything's
it's
great.
It's not always great.
It's, I mean,
no, of course.
What do you mean it's not always
great? No, I'm being authentic. Just like, but we're not on the Johnny Depp Amber Heard level. Don't worry.
Have you guys been following that?
No, I couldn't. That's just too much for me.
A very little bit. I don't know.
He's a character, though.
It feels like something that I shouldn't be. Nobody should. Like, who, what the fuck?
And it caught my attention when she brought it out of me when. I found out she took a shit on his bed. Who the fuck does that?
I had to Google it.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Yeah, I don't know.
How do you stand there? And then apparently, you know, she's having sex with dudes with him in the bathroom in the same house that he's paying the rent for, or he owns, or paying the mortgage for, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's insane.
Well, and it's just a comedy show. And her lawyer is just with the guy. He's incompetent compared to, I mean, for the level he's at, I don't think he knows what's going on.
She should have hired better.
Yeah.
For how much she took for money.
He's going to come out looking, from what I'm following, I don't know really too much. I'm not too much into it, but he looks like an absolute superstar. He's just, like, laughing at the questions. He's like, are you kidding me? Like, what? Yeah. What is this even about? I don't even know what it's about. I don't get it.
I mean, anytime you're in a situation when you're married to a chick that's two decades younger than you, there's going to be a level of disconnect on some sort of level.
Yeah, like shitting in a bed. Some disconnect right there.
Right before she went to Coachella, too, right? She shits on the bed and then goes and parties with her friends in Coachella.
It's like, go roll Who around in that? That.
Is that actually what happened?
I believe she was on her way to Coachella. That's what the security guard said in the testimony. Again, I'm not
is
too
this
much
like a
into
civil law. Is she going to get make money out of this?
Well, this is a defamation lawsuit. I think he's suing her. There might be counter lawsuits too, but like, he didn't get the sixth film in Pirates of the Caribbean. They haven't made it yet, but he's just lost opportunities to make money in potential films because of just there's an op-ed piece in the New York Post.
He
lost those like
as a wife beater and all that type of stuff, like just damaging his reputation. Like he doesn't treat women well, and who knows, right? But you got to get the truth out there, and his word versus her word, testimonies here. This is a big ordeal.
But so you've been following,
but not really,
because it always fucking happens in Hollywood,
it's
right?
It's more
some
interesting
serious
than
shit
Netflix.
Going on in the world, and this is what everyone's focused on.
Of
literally,
pun
shit.
Pun intended. Yeah.
Right. Well, we go from the pandemic, right? Then we go to this war from Russia, Ukraine. Then we go to Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Like this is what dominates the headlines.
The Epstein, what's her name? Was that one?
Yeah, yes, but that wasn't even like a Gisele.
Yeah, yeah.
Maxwell.
Yeah.
I just know the last names, but we talked. That was like a private thing. They didn't have video cameras
Why
and stuff
not?
Like that.
What the hell?
We can't Good keep point. Talking.
I got too much money involved.
Oh,
gotta take a leak.
Yes, we're talking about poop, and then
poop.
You gotta run.
Wanted to ask you too, real quick. We'll just sneak in a fight question in here too. Your former opponent, Dan Hooker, he made the stop to 145. I know. I just pivoted right back to fighting. He's now going back to 155, or says, shout out to Submission Radio. They spoke to him recently.
So I actually just saw that.
He's
going back to 155.
Yeah, what do you make of that?
He could, I mean, I think he could do whatever he wants to do. He's right there all the time. He's like, he's a dog. He's freaking tough. So I think 145, he's a big dude. He was bigger than me at 155.
Tall.
I know. Him at 155. It looked like a 145. I looked like a weight class below him when I fought him. He's talented. He's good. He could do whatever. I think if he just focuses on being the biggest, strongest 155er, it's a great weight class for him. Maybe even, who knows, 170. He's got the frame for a 170-pounder. I don't know, cutting weight sometimes. People have different – some guys, they do really good if they just don't even cut weight. They go in there fully hydrated, strong, focused more on the fight than the weight cut. I think going down to 145 is probably – it probably takes a lot of his energy, mental, physical energy, to make the weight. If he's 155, 170, now he's just focusing on being the best fighter. He can work on, all the things that he needs to work on instead of worrying about cutting weight. So I think 155 is probably a better weight class for him.
And you think that 145, that weight cut against Arnold Allen in London, like affected his chin, his overall, just psyche and morale, from a physical standpoint?
It definitely could have. It could have also just been Arnold Allen's freaking good.
Yeah.
And he got caught with a punch that could happen. The fight could have went a million different ways. Maybe he goes down to 145 and wins that fight and then goes on a run. Who the hell knows? You know what I mean? So I think he was probably just a tough opponent. Things just didn't work out. He probably spent a lot of energy mentally, physically making the weight.
What about the title picture this weekend? Charles Oliveira and Justin Gaethje. That's going to be a good one.
I don't even know.
It's like two extremes, which way that fight can go.
Yeah.
From a takedown to getting submitted to just sending this guy to the Neptunes.
A couple of years ago, I'd be like, Gaethje's winning that fight. He's like tougher, he's whatever. There was a few fights where Oliveira, he missed weight. He had like a real period where he was like kind of like out there and out of space. He was missing weight. He would be winning a fight, and then a little bit of adversity, he'd almost like fold. He'd quit. Against Felder, he definitely was looking like a superstar.
Right.
And then there was a point where he had his back, and he fell off his back, and it was just like, I'm done. Get me out of here. But you haven't seen that. He had against Chandler.
I was going to say, what Chandler did to him in the first round and how he came back in the second round, that was a huge turning point, I feel like, in his entire career.
For sure. What was the fight before that? Who did he fight before that?
He fought Kevin Lee. It was March 14th fight, the day after the world shut down in Brazil. Yeah. It was the last fight before the Jacksonville stuff and the pandemic.
Yeah. Kevin Lee, someone you fought too.
Good friend of mine.
Your boy. Your boy. Who just beat Diego Sanchez recently in the Eagle FC. Now Diego Sanchez is boxing Dan Hardy.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
What a life. What the hell? What a world.
Yeah. Listen, man, I hope I never go down that path. I just want to be done.
Like, and then Cowboy Cerrone against Joe Lozon.
What a great fight.
What a great fight. Yeah. Two guys up there in age, legends of the sport. It's a fun fight.
This card this weekend is great.
It is.
It's an awesome, awesome card. I forget what I was looking at. They broke it down like the main card has this many wins, this many fights, this many wins, this many bonuses. There's 99 bonuses on the main card. They've got 99 bonuses between everybody on the main card. Like, this is going to be crazy. Well,
you have Michael Chandler versus Tony Ferguson. That's
Ferguson's. He hasn't been looking great. Chandler.
Who needs this fight more, Ferguson or Chandler? We're talking
Chandler.
About. Okay. Chandler? Why?
Chandler. He came in very, very hot, man. And in my opinion, he's had fun, exciting fights, but he hasn't delivered in the sense of, like, it's cool to entertain, but you still got to get wins in order to stick around. And I think for him, I think he kind of realizes that a little bit. Like, he wants to go out there and still have fun, but I think he's going to do it a little bit more calculated this time around.
What about you?
What about
who needs this fight more?
Oh, I
mean, they both pretty much.
Yeah,
need it.
I think they both need this.
There's a chance the loser's out of the UFC. There's a chance.
Exactly.
I don't know about.
There's a chance.
That.
I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Retiring for Ferguson and Chandler maybe getting cut. I think.
But Ferguson, like, the guy's fought everybody.
Everybody.
The last couple of fights he's lost, but who's he fought? He's fought everybody. If he loses to Chandler, maybe give the guy a little. I don't know if he should be fighting Michael Chandler right now.
How did you feel about him not waiting for the Khabib fight and fighting Gaethje for the interim title fight at the ViStar Arena?
That was like a pivotal point. He wins that fight. He looks like a freaking, you know. But he cut weight before that. He was like cut. Right. Sometimes the crazy can make you do superhuman things, but also the crazy can hurt you, and I think that was it. It was like he wasn't fighting, and he cut weight, something like that. I remember looking at this. I was like, he was like, I'm cutting weight. I'm making this 2 weeks before the fight, or it might have been a week before, and then he fought Gaethje right after that. It's like, what are you doing, dude? Have a freaking hamburger and chill the fuck out. Get some training in, but cutting that weight for no reason, it was a little uncalled for. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. Cutting that type of weight takes a lot out of you. And Ferguson's not a small dude. You know, and it's tough because I like both guys. Both guys are, like, super cool, meeting both guys in person, talking with them. I was texting with Ferguson one time. He just sent me a picture of his dog, which I thought was hilarious. It's like the most random thing. Just is a picture of my dog. Like, it's a nice dog.
He comes off as crazy and whatever, but he's, I think he's cool. There's something – he's a lot smarter than people – kind of like
he's very cerebral. We talked about social media. He's always posting like plants and like growth, and like I like his positivity. I like his messaging because it's subtle. It's not forcing it down your throat. It's like, you know, he's out there working. He's just doing it in very, very unique ways. It's kind of like Batman. You know, he's kind of out there. He's training at night. Like, he's hard to find. He's hard to track down.
Yeah.
Like, I've been tracking him. I've been, you know, we have a decent relationship with him. Hopefully we'll get to interview him this weekend. But he's hard to track down. He's very into himself. He's in his own world. And it adds to the mystique. It's why he's Al Kakui. It's why he's got the reputation. I could see
that. It's cool, right? It's pretty cool how he does that.
Yeah, because we've told him, like, we're willing to go to Big Bear and do runs with him. And
it's, you know, it's whatever it's got to take. As an entrepreneur and independent media members that we are, we'll do whatever it takes. But taking a leg kick from TJ Dillashaw or going to meet Tony and kicking our shins on wooden planks and Big Bear, whatever it takes.
Yeah. And he actually sent me a couple of his wrestling shoes. So I have a couple of those at my
nice.
House. Yeah.
Have you ever gone to his academy?
No. I don't know if I'm like built for that type of training. That training's a little different. It's definitely a little different.
Well, you're
training.
The champ now. I think you could call your own shots for a lot of different things. Do you have an appearance, too, by the way, at the Finley Toyota?
Yeah,
I think I saw that.
Yeah.
That comes with being the champion, those perks?
They actually sponsored me a car like for almost 2 years now at this point. And
there you go.
Someone commented, was like, oh, the champ drives a Toyota. I was like, yeah, it's gas efficient.
It's a nice car.
It's a nice freaking car. Like,
you throw that thing in reverse, it sounds like an alien.
Which car?
Is this? It's a Camry.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Those are nice
EcoBoost?
Looking now. Yeah.
I had
EcoBoost.
A Camry. My Camry
really
never made that
it,
noise.
There's no type of setting for highway driving for EcoBoost?
Like, I don't know how to, like, there's buttons on there. I just drive, man. Reverse, neutral, park, drive.
And it's a free car.
It's a free car. I just pay for insurance, so I'm just like, I'm hanging
That's
out.
That's great.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice that we live in a day and age where you don't have to use stick, right? Did you ever learn how to drive stick?
No.
Did you ever drive stick?
No, never. My father used to drive stick, but he never taught me. I feel like right as I got into like driving, that was it was gone, you know?
My neighbor growing up, Steve, shout out to Steve Quasman. He used to manage BMWs at Knaus BMW out in like, I don't know if it's Libertyville, Illinois, some suburb of Chicago, but he would always have different cars he'd bring back. But he taught me how to drive stick when I was 15, 16 years old. And then in college to make money, I used to valet drive. So I had to know how to drive stick and park in the hills of Tucson, Arizona. I went to the University of Arizona. So I used to valet drive for like rich women in the foothills. They used to have book clubs. So I would park like Rolls Royces, like really, really nice vehicles.
You ever bang one up a little bit?
Fortunately not.
Wow.
Fortunately not. I don't know. Knock on wood, but no, fortunately not.
I would be the person that, like, I mess things up the first time I do things, mess them up. I would ding up a nice car if I was trying to park it. I don't know.
It's nice, but those cash money, nice tips, it paid for all my alcohol in college.
Yeah.
And you're going back this weekend.
To Phoenix, like Scottsdale.
This is going to be like a homecoming reunion for you.
For all my college friends, yes.
Yeah.
You guys are going to be in Phoenix, right?
Yeah.
You're going to go out to Old Town Scottsdale?
I'm debating it, man. That place is a zoo.
It is a zoo.
A great zoo to be at, but it's a lot, man.
It's like if Hollywood meets Vegas. It's a blend between the two worlds. At least Old Town Scottsdale is.
Yeah.
Those clubs, those day clubs, they have the pool parties just like here in Vegas.
Yeah,
I feel like you could have a continuation of a birthday party there.
I was there like 2 weeks ago.
It's a plan.
For that bachelor party.
Yeah.
For Maddie's bachelor party, yeah. It was wild.
Yeah, we're going to Sedona for the wedding.
Yeah, I have the weekend after. Have you ever been to Sedona?
No.
It's like Red Rocks. It's like it's like a 2 hour drive from Phoenix. It's on the way towards Flagstaff. It's beautiful scenery out there. It's breathtaking. Like the rocks are literally red. It's like have you been to the Grand Canyon?
No, just the Red Rocks. That's really it.
Yeah, I think it's a
Not
step above.
Hiking people.
And Red Rock Amphitheater.
Other hiking people.
Hike
I saw the videos of you and Marab and hiking Red Rock.
Wasn't he running up?
Yeah, he's different, that guy.
We were at the pool the other day, and we're like, where's Marab?
Yeah, where is Marab?
We go, where's Marab? We look on Instagram, he's climbing a mountain with Roman. We're like, where'd Marab go? He left. We don't know. He just kind of vanished. And then we see him, he left the party to run the mountain. That's,
wow.
Yeah.
That's
good
dedication.
For him, yeah.
His superpower is not drinking, not smoking. Like, if I could do that, I feel like things could be so much different. But Like, yeah. We'll hang out. I can't recover in the morning the way he can. He can, like, he sleeps in. I wake up early, and that's my problem. Like, I'll stay up all night, but I'll be up the crack of dawn still, like, just wide awake, ready to go. But for him, he's just an animal. Like, the guy's an energizer bunny. Like, I can't have a night of drinking, then wake up in the morning and do half the shit he does. I'm like, yo, bro. I'm like, nah, my body's not going to cooperate with me to do all that type of stuff right now. To go hiking after drinking, like, nah, bro. I'm just going to kick my feet up right here at this beach and kind of just
chill.
Did you
see him jump in the pool at the video he just posted? He jumped in the pool at the stadium swim. So we're sitting there, and I don't know how it got brought up, whether who could swim across. You know, the stadium swim.
Yeah.
It's a huge pool.
Yeah.
So Marab's like, yeah, I could do it. I could. You know, all right. So we're filming it. He gets up on the, it's like the armrail. He climbs up on top of it, jumps in, and swims. It's the funniest video because the security guards are walking down with him. You're not supposed to jump in, obviously. Yeah. And then you're not supposed to swim laps.
It's 3 feet deep.
So this kid from the Republic of Georgia jumps in. He's swimming past. There's like two lesbian girls making out, and he's swimming underneath the water. Past, you see them just like go past. There's people looking at him like, "What the heck's going on?" The security's following him. They didn't get it on the video, but the security is following him, and I'm like, he doesn't speak English. He's from Georgia, and they do. You know, they don't. There's no freaking rules there. They can jump in the water if they want. So he gets out of the water, and he did it. He swam the whole distance underwater. Crazy.
Damn.
What was the culture shock like for you guys when you guys went to Georgia with him? I know you had a championship reception. You're doing seminars. He called you like a Swanee, or they called you like Swanee?
Swanee.
But that's a good term.
Yeah, it's just like a village. Like someone from Suwanee is a Swanee. So they would call me Swanee Man, Sterliani from Suwanee, Swanee Man.
They got such a cool, it's such a cool thing over there.
What did they call you?
They called me Al.
Just call me Al.
That's it. But yeah, no, it was, what a crazy experience to go over there, right? Yeah.
Culture shock.
What a cool sport this is, that freaking, you know, two guys from Long Island go to the Republic of Georgia. I didn't even know what the hell, I didn't even know what that was. I go,
it's like Atlanta?
Yeah. Oh, it's this kid from Georgia. Why doesn't he speak English?
Yeah.
When we first met him, you know what I mean? And then he didn't speak English. So we've gotten to know him. We've gotten to know him over the years better as he's learning how to speak English better. You know what I mean? So he was just like, he didn't really speak any English when we first met him. We don't even like know that guy. That's like a totally different guy. That, you know what I mean? Right?
Yeah.
It's like so much different now. And then as he learns English more, we're starting to get, like, who he really is. The guy's hysterical. Yeah. Absolutely hysterical.
His personality is great. Like, now that we can, like, really communicate with him the way that we wish we could have, like, way back then. But, yeah, we call him Evil Marab. This is, like, the villainous Marab now. Because now he can speak English and he can really speak his mind, so you know exactly what he's thinking.
Definitely understand that, too. I can only imagine. That's the thing, too, is there's so many great people, so many great personalities in the sport that you mentioned, that because fighting's universal and not everybody can speak English the way that we know how to speak English, like, the fans are missing out and people are missing out. But these people are truly colorful people. I even feel like someone like Hamza Chimaev, who's continuously learning English, people are continuously seeing his personality evolve. And if people could see the side of Marab that you guys see, and even that we get glimpses of before the camera's on, I think the fandom that he would have, the support he would have, would only skyrocket.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. He's a great guy, man. The guy would take his shirt off his own back to give it to you. So really good dude.
I couldn't interview him without him just bringing up how much credit he gives to you throughout the entire process.
I love the brotherhood that you guys have.
The Long Island Stud Muffins. Are you guys still referring to yourself as Long Island Stud Muffins?
I think that was just me saying that.
I'll take it.
How come you guys didn't come to that Mayweather charity basketball game the other night?
Dude, the nights were just wild.
Oh, yeah.
You guys could play in the game. I'll get you guys to play in the game.
I mean, I wouldn't mind playing. It's just the fact, like, my fiance's out here. She has to go back for work, and then she has to get ready back for school. So nursing. I just wanted to make sure she was, having a good time and taking advantage of her. Like, they have, like, a 12-day break.
Okay.
And then right back into school.
Understood. Well, appreciate you guys coming on and giving us the time. One more shot at least. Yeah. I mean, not for you. She's going to drive. Red, yeah. She can't handle it. Don't blame me.
There's no tapping out. Don't tap out your bank account. This is an Aya Quinta commercial right there.
Chris Weidman commercial.
Yeah, how is Chris doing?
He's good.
Yeah.
He's good. He was just in Colombia doing the
stem cells
again.
How is that?
It's intense.
You've done that?
I went to Colombia and
did you like it?
I did, and I'm starting to see the results now. I'm starting to feel a little better.
Just a little, though?
That's all I need. I'm not trying to,
He's been wanting to do that, but...
I want to do it for my left hip. I've done up to, like, a half Ironman, like, triathlon stuff, and I told her if she makes the Olympic trials, I'll do an Ironman.
Yeah.
So I just from being in the saddle and biking so much, I just feel like being in that position, it just makes your hips so tight. And I was thinking about doing that for my left hip, the stem cells.
Oh, 100%. It can't hurt. I mean, there's certain injuries. My knees are shot.
Yeah.
Give me 1-2%. That's freaking a miracle. You know what I mean? Like, the doctors, I have surgeons look at my knees, and they're like, oh, yeah, your knees look great on the images. And then they're definitely not great. So a little bit of relief. And they say it takes a little while for once you get these injections for it to really kick in.
Like 6 months?
Like 6 months at least, right?
Yeah. So they do some really good stuff down there. And it's a little different medicine down there. I feel like they take a little bit more time. You go into a doctor's office. A lot of the doctors that I've been to, they already think they know what's wrong with you, and they kind of have they really ask questions. So I don't know what's going on with your hip, but I don't know if you've seen doctors here. I feel like here doctors be like, oh, you got this. We saw this on the image. They read the report. This is what's wrong with your hip. And they just kind of like label you as that. But down there, they really ask questions. They say, what hurts you? What does this? And they'll do an examination on you, and they really take their time. So that was the biggest thing. And then the stem cells, when they inject you, I was in bad shape with my knees. I had both my knees injected, and I was barely walking. A lot of the guys, there were some people down there. They were veterans and everything. And we were sitting around the table all talking about our injuries, and here I'm talking about like my knees from fighting, compared to this guy talking about his injuries, and he was kind of being a little bit more quiet about it. And you could just tell this guy's been through some shit. You know what I mean? So I felt bad complaining about my injuries. Once I'm seeing this guy, he's like his neck, his back. He was jumping out of helicopters. Fuck. Like, who the hell knows? It was like real war stuff, you know? Right. So I went in there thinking I had some problems. Yeah, and then you see what these guys are going through. And it helps them. It helps them a lot.
Well, that's how I feel complaining about any problems I would have talking to people like you guys.
It's funny. It's like, it's all...
I would say it can always be worse.
Yeah, it can always be worse, for sure.
How's your neck?
Oh, great.
You're good.
Night and day.
Cool.
Yeah, like, because you were talking about how you didn't have the same feeling in down your, was it your right arm?
Left arm.
Left arm?
Muscle atrophy in my tricep, and just overall weakness, but I'm back. I'm happy. I can do whatever I want.
See how fast he took Peter Yan's back?
I know. And the triangle you had on him, too, for those two rounds. It's like he spent so much energy trying to be on the defense in that fight. Because I went and rewatched that fight. I was just listening to you guys talk and everything like that, too. And I definitely, in live moment, I could see in that time because I was watching the fight. I could see it going either way, but watching it the second time, especially watching what you did in those two rounds and controlling him, and even so him being more on the defense than on the offense throughout the entire five rounds, I definitely have you winning that fight. But what you did to him, though, in those two rounds, when you took the back, when you were on his back, and there was nowhere for him to go.
Yeah.
And it was the entire time him on the defense and you on the offense. And I think that was Claire's night and day, and I think that was definitive in that fight. That's my big takeaway, is you having the control in that fight.
Yeah. I'm just glad we can move past this guy.
Yeah.
24 months of thinking this guy, I'm so good on that. Like, on to the next, man. I'm just glad the work paid off, and that's all you could do. At the end of the day, put the time in and just see what happens.
Aljo would still be on his back.
That's why I said, if that bell doesn't ring, I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
Like, it was tight as fuck. Like, you're either going to give up or get choked out. Like, yeah. Or I'm going to get to a dominant position and be able to finish the fight.
So whether you fight TJ or you fight Henry, I like all of you guys. I have no dog in the fight. I have no skin in the game. I'm glad that all of you guys have been champions. All of you guys have legacies. Let the best men win. I have no favorites.
It's a crazy division.
It's the best. I think it's the deepest division in combat sports. You got
all these former champions that are still relatively in their prime.
Six of them. I think it's six. Six guys at bantamweight have been champions. Like Aldo, I know it was featherweight, but he's still a champion, right?
Yeah.
TJ Dillashaw, you got yourself, you got Henry,
Dominic Cruz.
Peter Yan.
Yeah.
That's six. That's six guys.
That's insane.
Murderer's Row.
Insane. Name me another division that's got six guys with gold straps.
Good luck. Not even like that. I'm just saying good luck in this division. Like, there's so many good guys. I say it like, I know I'm in a great position, but I do know anyone could be champ on any given day, because that's just how talented everybody is at this weight.
But what do you think of the...
And Garbrandt.
Seven.
It's coming back to 135.
Seven. Yeah. Holy shit. How did we forget about Cody? Seven. Can't think of that in any other division, but what do you think of the approach of someone like Sugar Sean O'Malley, who's building his name through the social media route and got the fan... He knows what he's doing. And he's exciting to watch. His strike, he's definitely got the skill. He's ranked now.
Yeah.
What do you think of someone like that in this sport? I'm not talking about him necessarily because he's in your division, but just how do you think of that approach in combat sports?
I think he's smart, genius. I mean, that's kind of what I wanted to do, take my time, build my name up, get some good wins over some unranked opponents where I could capitalize on my grappling, but still get some time to work my stand-ups in real time. And then things got ugly, I could take the fight down to the ground, but you know, I had to jump into the top 10, like literally my third UFC fight. For him, he's being able to take his time this entire trek, fighting Paiva, who should not have been ranked in the first place, but beat Paiva, who was ranked, he's now ranked. I think he's tough, I think he's smart, and he's doing it the right way. He's doing it his way, on his terms. He's making good money. And he's utilizing the UFC platform and parlaying that into other opportunities for him and opportunities that he enjoys, because he smokes. Not every company is going to get behind an athlete that smokes weed. But for him, he's doing what he wants to. He's enjoying life, playing video games, smoking weed, and punching people. I mean, what's better than that? That's a right. Win all the way around.
But I think when it comes to the smoking weed thing, like, I think we've proven by now in 2022, it's not like a physical advantage, it's not a disadvantage, but it's better to smoke weed than popping pain pills. Like, think of a guy like Brett Favre. How many pain pills do you think that guy had to pop in order to keep his record of starting in all the Packers games, being the starting quarterback in the game? Like, I think it's a much better approach to use that than it is popping pills.
No, 100%. I think so.
We get it, though. You smoke weed. Yeah, like, we fucking get it. Yeah. You don't have to smoke while you're hitting pads, dude.
Yeah, like, fucking
smoked and hit pads. Like, you don't have to smoke while we get it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We get it.
He's so cool.
But yeah, like, you, dude, you're so cool. You're hitting pads while you. But actually,
I don't mind it. Yeah, I don't mind it.
Like, I can't say I've never.
It's entertaining.
I've hit pads when I was smoking weed. You know? Not bad.
Yeah, we should probably do that.
I mean, there's guys that literally fight high. There it's been. Yeah. I'm not sure if it's
everybody
it's
has prominent, a different,
but it's yeah. been it's
everybody
happened.
Everybody has a different
tolerance. Weed.
Tolerance, it affects people differently. Some people, they're the lazy smokers, they smoke and they just lazy. Some people, they smoke and they just freaking get things done. That's me. I'll clean my whole house. I'll check 20 emails, forget that I left the stove on, go down, make food. I'll do a million things. You know, some people, that's It's a different
like zone almost. But I couldn't smoke. I mean, I've trained high before, like jiu-jitsu, never like sparring. I know my brother does it. I'm like, dude, you're crazy. Like, I can never do something like that. But I do think it is a little bit of an advantage for a fight situation if it's doing things like calming your nerves or making things slow down for you. Like, then we're not competing under the same exact mind frame and all that. Like, us waking up every day, just waking up, like, that's how we should compete. Outside of that, I feel like anything that changes that, then it makes it different and we're not fighting under the same circumstances, if that makes sense. But I don't care if you want to smoke before, like, Friday, Thursday, like, who gives a shit? I don't give a shit about that. But especially if it's going to numb the pain for you during the fight, it's also an advantage, you know? So I think it's another way of looking at it. But other than that, man, I like to think if you smoke weed while we're training or fighting, like, I should have the upper hand. That's the way my brain works. But I could be completely wrong.
Some people, if they take a couple shots, they take two golden shots, maybe a couple shots, and they go out there and compete. I don't know.
Football players would do that shit, too. They'll take shots before games and stuff. Basketball players. I'm sure
John Jones has done some shit.
100%. I'm sure his brother Chandler Jones. Yeah. Just getting ready for a game.
But they need to do that. Like, I feel like some people need to... They need to, like, have an edge. They got to have an edge.
At the end of the day, we're all humans. Like, yeah. What floats for someone might sink for the other person. And it doesn't make a difference. And who are you to be judgmental? At the end of the day, it's all about W's and it's all about L's. That's how you guys get paid. That's how you guys get known. And it doesn't matter how you get there, as long as you're not cheating, as long as you're in the rule book. I know how you feel about cheating. And you've been pretty vocal about TJ Dillashaw, rightfully so. Yeah. At the end of the day, it's about wins and losses, and that's how you're defined.
But on a side note, what do you think about what Jorge did to Colby? Like, especially after they already fought. Ooh. And I know you fought Jorge
it's
before. Kind
of, it's just funny to me. And I like Jorge, but it's just like, yo, bro, that's like... I'm super cool with him, super cordial. Like, that's not like, we're not like best friends, but it's just like, as a fan, I just go, bro, you had 25 minutes. That can't be like your thing that you're, and I get it, like, outside, like, talking shit, like, fight him outside in the streets. Okay. But to go sucker punch somebody after, like, you just lost 25 minutes to them, it's like, that's what makes it weird. Like, I understand the trash talk portion of it, but I think you should still make it known, like, hey, man, we still got a problem. Anytime I see you, it's on site. Okay, that's cool. But to, like, run up on somebody, I think that's a little, it's kind of a little low blow. And I don't want to, like, again, I get the street code, but it's a little low. It's a little low.
What do you think?
Yeah, you talk about someone's kids, it's like, it might be a free game. I don't know. Yeah. If you talk about family, you might get sucker punched.
I'm a huge fucking nerd, and I was actually just reading about this from the legal standpoint last night, too.
Yeah.
But Colby is claiming, too, and part of the lawsuit, brain damage.
Yeah.
And you're talking about someone who's a professional fighter for a living,
my God,
who's taking shots in the head continuously. How do you differentiate the brain damage from the shots that Jorge took?
This is hysterical right now.
I think 100% he got brain damage from that.
Of course, he got punched in the head. Yeah, you get punched hilarious. In the head,
like, he got rattled.
You get brain damage in sparring.
Yeah. So that's
potentially
if you get sucker punched,
it's a lot worse. You don't see it coming.
You get sucker punched, that's brain damage. Brain damage. Like,
and it was apparently the back of the head, which is the worst. It's illegal horrible. In MMA it's to horrible. Punch someone in the back of the head.
Did you see the photo?
The tooth is the worst. The least of his worries. I think the more is.
Oh no, you ever chipped your tooth before?
I have.
That shit is not nice. Drinking anything, eating anything.
Yeah, but how many of you guys have veneers too? Look at Anthony Lionheart Smith. He's got a nice grill. Look at Conor McGregor's grill.
I get like the chills. Like you drink something and you just like
Oliveira got his.
You never had that? Like when you get your tooth chipped and you try to eat something, like the sensations that go through the nerves like.
Yeah, but that's fixable.
I'm too biased when it comes to my dad practiced dentistry. My dad was a dentist for 30 years before he retired, so I'm too biased on the teeth front. But yeah, it's a fucked up game.
And he said his Rolex.
God damn
15 grand of damage. And then I saw his attorney saying, like, you got to prove it's a real Rolex. There's fake parts. It's a full X, they called it. Yeah, it's It's drama, man. You're talking about guys who were best friends at one point.
That's crazy. He was in, how it
he was
got
in Masvidal's corner when I fought Masvidal.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
And was he pretty vocal?
True.
Was he pretty vocal in the corner too?
When they announced the decision, they raised my hand, and you just see Colby like, oh,
fuck.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Wow. Shit. So you literally like witnessed them as best friends.
Yeah. They were. I was like, who the fuck is this fucking dork?
And on short and for what it's worth, for
now
the fans,
I know he's a freaking. I didn't know who he was at the time. He was just kind of coming up.
Sure.
I was like, who is this guy acting like he knows what the fuck the score was? You know what I mean? And that was, and then he put on the whole shtick. You know, and now you respect the freaking guy. I like the guy. I think he's hysterical.
And for all those newbie fans too, Ray Janelle, man, short notice fight, stepping up. Remember the whole bus incident, New York. You and Khabib, man. Imagine what you would have done with the full training camp with Khabib Nurmagomedov, 29-0. I mean, just saying.
Yeah, you know it.
It would have been a much different fight. One day's notice when a guy was training for 25 minutes versus a guy who's training for 15 minutes versus a striker versus a grappler. It's completely his game plan doesn't change, ours does, you know. But it is what it is, kind of thing. But.
And especially because we've seen what Khabib has done in submitting like Justin Gaethje,
Dustin Poirier, and that's what makes this weekend so intriguing for me. It's like. If this fight is on its feet, I do like Gaethje striking. This fight goes on the mats, and I know he's got the wrestling. I like Oliveira's got the most submissions in UFC history.
And you saw
the freedom that Khabib had with the submission game with Gaethje. It's like, I feel like Oliveira's path to victory is submission.
But Oliveira's knocked out freaking...
He has.
He knocked down Chandler with a... Freaking,
he did.
Not even, you know what I mean? Like, he's got power now.
But how great was that fight between Chandler and Gaethje? And you saw Gaethje taking on the chin Chandler's best shots. Yeah. I mean, again, everyone's the chin life, the shelf life for a fighter, it's always different, you know? You always leave a piece of you inside the octagon. But that's what makes it so fascinating.
Yeah. I feel like Chandler fought half that fight with his hands down by his waist. Which is so crazy to me, just like open target, but then when he will land big, but then when he get landed on, it was even bigger because it's just like no defense whatsoever. Versus Gaethje kind of rolling with the punches a little bit, even if it did stick. He was still able to move and kind of roll with the punches a bit, where it's like Chandler was kind of square and just took it right on the chin.
Chandler could have probably fought that one a little smarter.
A lot smarter, man. In
Gaethje,
hindsight.
I think that's his... He fell into Gaethje's wheelhouse. Like, that's his thing. That craziness is where Gaethje, that's where he's going to win the fight. I don't think Oliveira's going there. I don't think he's going to make it I don't think it's going to be a crazy fight. You know what I mean? Like a barn burner, knock him out, drag him kind of fight. I think Oliveira probably a little bit more cerebral approach to the fight.
Who do you got?
Oh. Honestly, this is like a 50-50. I don't even know. I don't know.
Nah, I can't pick. I mean, I like both guys. I mean, I know I know Gaethje a little bit more than DuBronx, but the jiu-jitsu side of me says, like, he's going to do the same thing Khabib did, but... I can see him getting sent to the Neptunes. The same way he got caught with Chandler early in the first round, the same thing could happen with Gaethje.
I just don't see... If Gaethje connects with him, I don't see him being other than relentless. I can see him just capitalizing on it and just going for the kill. He's not going to... He's definitely more calculated than he was early in his career, but if he smells blood, if he tastes blood, I don't see him letting out. Yeah. I don't see it at all. But at the same time... With Oliveira's craftiness, and I can't bet against Oliveira for what he's done, how he's overcome against Poirier, how he's overcome against Chandler, and what he did against Kevin Lee and everything. Your best friend, by the way. There's so many different things.
Your best friend.
I'm friends with everybody. I mean, I don't have any enemies. At least I hope. I'm just here to entertain.
I like Kevin Lee. Yeah, I like him.
So at the end of the day, it's going to be who can impose their will first. More calculated and wants it more. Who's going to be the dog?
That's why I don't get how people bet on fights. I'm like, there's so much going on to bet on a fight. Like, how do you just know, like, what type of person is going to show up that day?
Right.
This one is so boom, one or the other, though. Yeah. I feel like some fights, you're like, all right, this guy's got a little bit of edge on the stand-up, the wrestling, the jiu-jitsu, something.
Yeah.
You can kind of tell. This one, it's like, all right.
We know.
Gaethje can freaking kick his legs off. Can Oliveira do something to negate that? If Oliveira gets a body lock, Gaethje's on the ground. I feel like he's almost like non-existent. He doesn't enjoy learning about the ground game. It seems like Oliveira is just light years ahead, right?
Well, did you think that Oliveira would have beaten Poirier?
I did because of the submission game. I thought that was the edge because I'm like the same thing. Like Gaethje, Dustin, their kryptonite is grappling.
What about, it's not happening anymore, but I always thought Khabib versus Oliveira would be the so sickest fight ever. It'd be Islam.
The only way to Islam draw Khabib out of retirement is if somebody beats Islam definitively.
I think Islam, he's right now, he's probably like on more of a roll than I think he probably gives. I think Khabib was kind of like, this guy Islam, I'm going to give him, you know, he's kind of like the guy now.
For sure. But Islam has been knocked out before.
Yeah.
RDA? Was it RDA?
No, he didn't get the fight at RDA. It was very early on in the career. Yes.
Yeah. I forgot who knocked him out.
Was it Bilal? He trains in L.A. with
Adriano Martins.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, wow. And then Cowboy killed him.
Yeah. It's a crazy sport
with that head kick. What that guy? I thought that guy was gonna go on a tear, then kind of just, damn. It's a brutal sport, man.
Yeah.
That's what makes it interesting. It's a very tough sport, and both of you guys have the great base, the great background in wrestling, for the foundation, for the toughness, for the life lessons, and in it for the long haul.
The wrestling is definitely learning that at a young age is super important.
For sure.
I don't know.
When are you guys heading to Arizona?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow? We're driving after this podcast. Well, yeah.
What are you guys going to do the whole time?
Well, my parents live there, so it's
like,
kind of
while
like,
you're driving, like, what are you going to do? You listen to podcasts?
Yeah.
Are you going to listen to the schmo? Are you going to listen to this interview?
Actually, she'll probably listen to this podcast and edit this podcast while I listen to probably a Joe Rogan podcast.
He always does everywhere.
Yeah, I look up to him. I look up to him.
I'm actually going back on.
Are you going back on his podcast?
June 1st.
Excellent.
Nice.
It's a life goal for me to one day make it to the Joe Rogan podcast.
He said he was looking forward to coming here more, though.
Oh.
There it is.
At the end of the day, he's a pioneer. He does it himself, doesn't rely on a network or any type of media company to do his shit, and I'm the same way, you know? Life is what you make it. Why not make it your own, right?
100%.
Love it.
You guys want another shot?
All right, we'll do one more.
We'll do one more shot.
You're gonna do one with us.
We'll wrap it up. We're going to take a shot. Damn, we appreciate you guys coming on. Final message, Ray Janelle. We'll start with you.
Buy, sell, rent anywhere in the world. Hit me up.
Yeah, where can they hit you up?
Instagram, Twitter. You know how to find me. It's not too hard to get in touch with people nowadays.
True.
I'm selling houses all around the country, helping people find their dream homes, sell their dream homes, make a lot of money. Airbnb. What is that?
That's just some smoke. That was just some fumes.
What the heck?
Black
hair
sage.
Sorry, I filled it too full.
Pass that shit.
And you, Aljamain, I think Funkmaster, I think it's pretty self-explanatory, but might as well just say it one more time.
Yeah, Funkmaster MMA on all socials. Hanging out today in Vegas. Going to be at the Toyota Finley. Then tomorrow we are heading to Phoenix, and we'll be there for UFC 274, hanging out with the fans. I'm actually working on my acting career. I just finally got a manager.
Nice. So, congrats. Nice.
Thank you. So I'm looking forward to that because I got some downtime. I want to take advantage of at least the next 2 months before I really start like kicking in training. Like I'm going to start training, but I want to make sure I could do that type of stuff while just doing like some simple things and then really start to pick it up and really dissect who the next opponent is going to be and go from there.
So we'll see you in Hollywood movies soon.
That would be 50 Cent. Nice.
50 Power,
get him in there.
Yeah.
Power Universe, what up?
Love it. Power. Hey, shout out to my first job in corporate America, Starz, the movie channel. Is that Power?
Yeah,
and
Starz? Yeah.
Yeah, Starz. Beverly Hills. Cheers.
Cheers.
Episode, we'll call this 100.
Yeah.
We went out of place. We'll see you next time.